Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, good morning, everybody. It is a great honor and privilege to be here. This is the eighth year. Come here every year. Hallelujah. It has been from glory to glory. I salute the committee of believers here. Thank you for being consistent. And this is massive, this is beautiful. Let's give Jesus a big hand. It takes more than money to build this. It takes faith and trust in God. And I sincerely want to salute you once again for this wonderful project. The hand of Zerubbabel that has begun this work will complete it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Lift our hands to heaven and ask the Lord to speak to us. Jesus, speak to me. Open my eyes, open my ears, that I may see, that I may hear. By the power of your Spirit, I have come with my heart open, ready to learn, ready to receive. I need to pray, let it be a desperate prayer from your heart that I will not go back the way I came. Give me an encounter by your word. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Help us this morning, Holy Spirit. Grant us understanding, empower us to manifest your glory indeed. For in Jesus' matchless name we have prayed. God bless you, please. Will you be seated? Hallelujah. So, we're considering a few things relating to the theme of the conference. I am a firm believer in the Word of God, and I believe that it is in every believer's destiny. Please let me your attention. I believe that it is in every believer's destiny to be a manifestation of the glory of God. When it has to do with revealing and manifesting the glory of God, God did not select some at the expense of some. Every believer in Christ is ordained for a life of excellence, ordained for a life of glory. It's important that we get this foundation as simple and as basic as it is. If you do not believe that it is in your divine destiny to be a manifestation of the glory of God, you will never release your faith to walk in that reality. Whether you know how to walk in it or not, is a different ballgame altogether, but you have to believe that it is in my destiny, it is in your destiny as a believer in Christ. Hallelujah. And we're touching along that line so that we understand what the glory of God is, but it is important for you to know this, that every believer in Christ, whether you're from the north, from the south, east or west, regardless your family background, regardless what has happened or not happened in your life, regardless how you were born, you must settle in that once the believer comes into Christ, there is a destiny of glory and destiny of grace. Do you believe that? The Bible says in John chapter 15, from verse 8, when you read, it says, "Herein is my Father glorified, when ye bear much fruit." It says, "So shall you be my disciples." And then John 15 and verse 16, Jesus is still speaking. He said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, that you should go and bear fruit," he says, "and that your fruit will remain." Hallelujah. I'm showing you a few scriptures that attest to the fact that every believer in Christ is ordained for a life of glory and a life of grace. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus began to teach the disciples, and when we get to verse 13, Matthew 5, 13, Jesus said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." He was not telling salt. Everyone listening to him, "You are the salt of the earth." He says, "But if the salt has lost its savor or its saltiness," he says, "wherewith shall it be made salty? It is good for nothing except to be thrown and trampled under foot of men." Then he says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. Not you have light. You are literally the light of the world. He says, "You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a lamp," he says, "and put it under a bushel." Light upon a candlestick or a lampstand, and it gives light to everyone who is there. Verse 16 now says, "So," he says, "let your light so shine," so shine. Take note of that expression. Let your light so shine, not before spirits, not before angels, before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul was speaking to the church in Ephesus, when we read verse 10, Ephesians 2 and verse 10, here's what the Bible says. It says, "We are his workmanship." We are his workmanship. You know what a workmanship is? The tools that an individual uses to do his work. So if you're a carpenter and we say, "What is your workmanship?" The hammer, the chisel, these are the things that make your work efficient. So when the Bible says we are his workmanship, it means every time God wants to reveal his glory, we are those tools that he uses to reveal his glory. Created in Christ Jesus. Are we together? Yes. That we should walk with him. He's projected onto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. That means your ordination. Do you know what it means to ordain? To ordain means to make what you are doing legal or legitimate. To legitimize an operation. So he says that God has ordained, meaning it has been put in your destiny and my destiny, that upon arrival upon the earth, one day your life should become a glory and a praise to God and even before men. It is in your destiny. Hallelujah. One last scripture. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10. I wish we read this together if you can see it projected. Ephesians 3 and verse 10. The Bible says to the intent. Okay, can we read that together? One, two, read. While we may know. Do you see what you just read? It says to the intent. When you read verse 3, Paul began to speak apostleship. He says it is for this reason that he was ordained an apostle and he was made a custodian of the mysteries of the kingdom. Right? When we now get to verse 10, he said this is the reason. All that labor of revelation to teach you is to this end. To the intent that now, not later, now, all to principalities and powers might be made known by the church the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God. That means if you are living your Christian experience properly, your life should literally become a living epistle. Someone should look at your life and wonder and say, "Can God really make this out of men?" Yes. That your life should not be an issue of shame and reproach that should make people wonder and say, "Is this how a believer should be?" Your life and my life should be such an expression of the glory of God that when men look at you, they will say, "Indeed, there is a God in heaven." And in the name of Jesus for today, may that be the testimony in your life. That because of the effulgence of the glory of God that emanates from the life of a believer, not a preacher. When we talk about this, it's not an exclusive reserved to preachers. that those who knew you before will look at your life and say, God truly helps men. God truly lifts men. God truly empowers men. They looked at them. They were ordinary men. Jesus called them to himself and he transformed them to become objects of glory. The Bible says when they saw them in the book of Acts, they wondered, these same people, these same fishermen, but they learned that they were with Jesus. That means if it is true that a man is with Jesus, something should show in your life. You cannot claim you are with Jesus, with him in prayer. Praise the name of the Lord. You are worshiping, learning at his feet. Thank you. Praise God. And then eventually you find out that your life is not being a capture of God's glory. Everything that is stopping the glory of God from being made manifest in your life, in the name of Jesus, let it drop down in this conference. Hallelujah. So this is the first thing. I'm just introducing the entire concept because I need to understand. When I teach for understanding. Because if you do not understand, you will only be wasting your time. You will share the grace and you will rejoice and go back, but there will be no manifestation of glory whatsoever. Listen, the strength of the believer is in understanding the truth. He said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Not ye shall hear the truth, not ye shall assume the truth. Hallelujah. So settling once and for all, ladies and gentlemen, and while I'm speaking to you, you see, the devil will also be speaking to you and say, not from the family you came from. When they are talking about glory, they are talking about those who came from rich parents, or those who have the opportunity to be educated, or those who have the opportunity to come from all kinds of things. We live in a world where there are many voices that speak to us. Look at me, please. The Bible says, Paul speaking said, there is, as it were, many voices, and he says, none of them is without signification. So you can be seated here listening to me, and whilst you are listening, the devil is telling you, forget about what this man of God is saying, because that does not apply to you. The situation, the kind of decadence, the family you came from. Let me show you for 1 minute before we continue. Ordinary men who came from backgrounds that you would never expect to be anything, for the glory of God was revealed in and through their life. Can I list a few of them for you? Number one, it's about a man called Abraham, who came from all of the Chaldeans. That man was an idol worshiper. He was not even a worshiper of God. And yet God called that man and transformed Abraham, leaving him a blessing that he will become the father of many nations. And he left him a promise in Genesis 12 and verse 3. It said, thee shall all the families of the earth be. You may want to check the batteries. I think the batteries can be weak if you can. Hallelujah. Indeed shall all families of the earth be blessed. Are we together? How about ordinary men, people like Esther? Esther was a village girl. A village girl in a place in Shushan. And one time she heard that the king was looking for a wife, and her uncle said, go and join the Lord. Who knows? I'm sure someone would have laughed at her and said, you must be stupid. You think the king is looking for someone like you? And she went there knowing that everyone is ordained to be revealing God's glory. And as soon as the king saw her, the king loved her above every other woman, and she became the queen. And it was on account of what she did that she delivered the Jews. Thank you. Hallelujah. Are we together? How about Gideon, a young boy who was hiding? He was the least in his father's house, and his father's house was the least in their clan. When the angel comes to appear to him, he does not say, thou weak man who is hiding. He calls him by his destiny. He says, oh, the mighty man of valor. How about Jesus himself, the one you call your Savior? And you call your king. When he walked upon the earth, the Bible tells us that he was born in Nazarene. It was not some, Joseph was not some billionaire somewhere. And no. It was a very modest and a simple life. He lived an ordinary life as everybody. But then he transited now to become the King of Kings, now even seated at the right hand of the Father. I'm doing this to let you know that no matter where you are, God is able to lift you and to cause the glory of God to be revealed in and through your life. But you have to believe. Say, I believe. Shout it, let the devil hear you. Yes. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say, not just wishing, it's so. I believe. I may not look like it now. The Bible says, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be like. Just because you have not become it does not mean you will not become it. When you look at me, how many of you see a mango tree or an orange tree? The moment you see it forming, you will never believe that small thing coming out is the mango that one day you will try to pluck. It doesn't look like it. When you watch it, maybe banana tree or any fruit at all, there are fruits that once you see them forming, it's such an ugly sight. Tiny little thing, and just giving time. That is the same thing that will attract you. You come and stand in front of it, look for stones, it will draw you from your house without publicity, and you come and stand in front of that tree again and again. May that be your life. In the name of Jesus Christ. That someday someone will have to look for you and say, my sister, I don't know your name, but all I know is that your life is a living epistle, or proof to me that God is alive. In the name of Jesus Christ, please be seated. Now, let's understand a few things. Have established the fact that it is in our divine destiny in Christ to be manifestations of the glory of God. What exactly is glory? I think I need to define that. Most people talk about glory or the glory of God, and our understanding is fruitful. Otherwise, we may not really be able to maximize the theme of this conference. Look up, please. Generally speaking, the glory of a thing is the summation of all the excellent qualities in that thing that makes it valuable. It is called the glory of anything. Are we together? So the glory of this microphone is in its ability to amplify my voice. Are we together? So that I'm speaking without shouting, yet you are hearing me. So when you say to explore the glory of this phone, the glory of this mic I'm holding, you will now say things like it is a wireless mic. You describe the technology that makes it exceptional. You describe its ability, maybe the make, the company. These are all the attributes that make it glorious. Are we together? You're holding a phone, almost everyone here. This is my phone. So, if you talk about the glory of this phone, Apostle, what is the glory of this phone? Number one, we'll have to find out the company, the reputation of the company that made the phone. Are we together? And then we begin to describe the features in the phone that makes it exceptional. Then we might talk about the price of the phone. What makes it expensive is in this phone. So when you talk about glory, it's not something vague. The glory of anything is a comprehensive description of whatever makes that person or that object valuable. So when we talk about the glory of God, we have to dissect the various attributes of God that makes him worthy of our worship. Is someone understanding me? To understand the glory of God, you must understand all his attributes. His power, his might, his wisdom. These are all the attributes of God. For instance, what makes God glorious? Many things. Number one is that the King of Israel does not sleep, he does not slumber. Every man under the sun will have to find rest. But God of heaven does not need to sleep, he does not need to slumber. In fact, he said in Isaiah chapter 40, he said there is no searching of his understanding. It has to be a display of his attributes. Moses said, show me your glory. And God said, I will allow my goodness. That is one aspect of your glory. The goodness of God. There is no evil found in him. No wonder
the people, the Israelites, would sing and say, "You are good and your mercies endure forever." It says the Lord is gracious and compassionate. Are we together? Slow to anger and rich in love. These are the attributes that make him glorious. What else is his glory? Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power, and nothing is too hard for you. Once have I spoken, and twice have you heard, that power belongs to God. So his power is an attribute that describes his glory. How about his wisdom? When you begin to describe these attributes of God, it now leaves you in awe, and you are compelled to worship him. Do you understand the concept of glory now? Yes. So if you tell me I am glorious, you would have to describe to me the various things in your life that make you exceptional. If you tell me I'm a professor, I'm a learned colleague, if you tell me I'm exposed, or I have some money, I have economic power, or I have influence, all of these attributes attest to the fact that indeed you are glorious. Do you get the word now? So when the Bible says that we have been ordained unto glory, you know what that means? The attributes of God should be manifested through your life. The wealth of the kingdom, the wisdom of God, the power of God, the favor of God. That when men are rejecting others, when it gets to your turn, an influence from you rests upon them, and they do not know why they are showing you favor. And someone will say, "Why is your case different?" Now that's the glory of God being revealed. That the wisdom, the excellency of the wisdom of God emanates through your life. That people see you communicating a dimension of wisdom that perhaps might be higher than your age, higher than your educational qualification, and they are compelled to ask you, "What wisdom is this? You are glorious, so glorious in your ways. You are mighty, so mighty. Powerful, so powerful in your ways." These are all his attributes. Listen, can I tell you? God designed the dynamics of glory such that every time glory is manifested, it compels praise and worship unto God. It is impossible to see the glory of God being revealed, whether in creation or through the life of the believer, without glorifying God and giving him praise. Hallelujah. Think, for instance, a woman like one of these, our sisters here, suddenly she gets pregnant and there are triplets in that stomach and they are all alive. Can you imagine that kind of miracle? It's not like she swallowed the babies and they went into the stomach. They were four there like that. And she gives birth to them, and there is mother standing. There is the first baby. There is the second baby. You cannot watch that kind of sight and say it's casual. No. It will compel a praise. You will say, "Oh God, I fear you." Or someone who is seated now, and by next week you come with the key of a house and say, "Look at this." And listen, it is more than just a house or a miracle. If all you celebrate is a building, you have wasted that opportunity. It's like a letter God writes from heaven to creation. "See what I can do. This is how far I can go to display my power." Or someone who has been diagnosed to die as a result of an incurable infirmity or whatever it is. And ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, that pain, that growth, that demonic thing is not there. Someone comes on a wheelchair and in one moment he's standing up and walking away as if he was lying. I don't understand what happened. That people antagonize you and say you will not be promoted, you will not rise, and God says, "Don't worry." Who said they said that this man was born blind? Was it him or his father? Jesus said, "That's not the issue, but that glory needs to come out of this story. That's the most important thing. Whoever sinned is not the issue. It's that I have seen an opportunity to reveal my glory." Do you know? know that heaven seeks an opportunity to reveal the glory of God every day? But many of us have not availed our lives. The few who have availed our lives, they are the ones who think they are celebrities, whether celebrity preacher, whether whatever it is, there are no such things with God. The same Lord is rich unto all. My assignment in my part of this conference is to help you first understand that when it has to do with revealing the glory of God in and through the life of the believer, everybody is a potential candidate. Do you believe that? So glory talks about the multifaceted attributes of God that causes you to worship Him, that causes you to praise Him, revealed in and through the believer. Revealed in and through the believer. Hallelujah. Now, how to establish the fact that number one, it is in every believer's prophetic destiny to be a conduit for manifesting the glory of God. And number two, that the glory of God has to do with an unveiling of His multifaceted attributes. I need you to understand that like every other thing in the kingdom, God, please listen carefully. God is a God of patterns. Please write it down. God is a God of patterns. 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 What does that mean? Please look up. A pattern is a predefined pathway. Listen, you will write, but please listen. A pattern is a predefined pathway that leads to a predictable outcome. A pattern is a predefined pathway. In other words, if I follow this road, I will eventually end up on that seat. Are we together? I will not walk this way and end up out there. So every time I want to come to this seat, where do I follow? Are we together? Now, my friend, please stand up, this gentleman. Can I use you? Stand up, sir. Yes. Can I have one person to stand up? Now, yes. Now, everybody look at this. Look at his location. He's to my right. Am I right on that? This gentleman is almost before me here. This one is to my left. Now, all of you, your assignment is to get to that seat. Are we together? Is someone following what I'm saying? I want to show you the power of patterns. Now, you will walk from where you are. You will walk from where you are. You will walk from where you are. Ready? Let's go. Come. This way. Watch this. Are you seeing that? Regardless of their direction, we are going the same place. That is the power of patterns. The result is predictable. So, this man may be Igbo. This man may be Yoruba. This man may be Hausa. This man may be an European. Provided you follow this rule, there is a guarantee. Are we together now? Please go back, gentlemen. Don't be tired of my using you for an example. Please go to your seat and keep standing. I like to teach using illustration and to be simple so that you will understand. Now watch this. Of these three, who is closest to me? This man. Now, when I ask the two to come, you remain here or just walk around. Are we together? Because he is close to me does not guarantee you have the result. It is whoever walks the pattern. This man is farthest. You walk and come. You walk and come. You walk and come. You stand back. All of you follow me. Watch this. Just because he was born in church, just because he's a pastor's child, just because he's the head of some unit in church, does not mean the glory of God will be with him. He's around the glory, but never able to manifest it, simply because he does not know that the glory of God is pattern dependent. Around the grace for prosperity, around increase, around influence. We will even have a name, maybe favor, maybe goodness, maybe breakthrough, whatever it is. But this gentleman is sincere, he does not have to be bad. He's not evil. In this illustration, perhaps he's a pastor's son, maybe a man of God himself. And then somebody comes from nowhere. Maybe this man was born 1975. This one was born 1991. And you find out that this one is working. Please follow me. Patterns. Are we together now? Do you understand what I just taught you? That means every time I see any of them seated on this seat, the fact that they are here is proof that they have followed a correct pattern. Am I right on that? Yes. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I know that both men and women cook, but let me use women to an instance because they are the ones we trust. Hallelujah. Now, women, how many of you can guarantee right now that if we give you the ingredients for soup and we give you 3 hours, you're going to come up with delicious swallow and soup or rice? Guarantee. No food burning, no whatever. How many of you? Put your hand down. Question. Some of you are not even related to one another, yet all of you have the same confidence. Why? Because you study the pattern that leads to that result. Are you seeing that now? So, look at the confidence. I said, how many of you can, you know, cook that rice or that soup and without fear? Some of you here, single-handedly, you can cook for all of us here without mistakes. The power of patterns. The difference between a chef or a caterer and one who freelances cooking is that one has diligently studied the pattern so well, they have gained mastery. Are we together now? So, 1,000 people can trust her and say, cook for this wedding or this anniversary, and nobody goes to verify whether she's doing the right thing. They come to the occasion trusting she will not disappoint. I'm saying this because when I show you the patterns of the Spirit, some of you will start rejoicing. You say, I found my way out of certain things. You will now learn that it's not like some people are exceptional and left others. No, it is the one whose eyes have seen the man. Job said there is a path which no fowl has seen, that the whelps of the lion has not gotten there. It is the reason why ignorance is dangerous in the kingdom. You can be sincere, but when you are bankrupt of the knowledge of the patterns of the kingdom, we call it the ways of God. Let me show you a scripture. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. Please show us and then we'll find somewhere to pray. Leviticus chapter 9. Is God helping someone already? Leviticus 9 and verse 6. Let's read it, everybody, if you're a Christian. Ready? 1, 2, read. One more time. Now, where the name Moses is, I want you to put your name by faith. And now read. Are you ready? One, two, read. Go ahead.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Is the Lord.
Experiencing poverty and stagnation, the key is not, oh God, help me. That is a sympathetic prayer, but it's not a wise prayer, because that dimension of glory is yours for the taking, but there is a pattern that connects to it. If everybody is rejecting you, nobody wants to come around you. It is to tell you there is a pattern you have not followed. This is powerful. I'm praying that God will help somebody this morning to believe this truth. You will now see. Do you know that failure, oppression, all of these things are also patterns? It's the same principle that Satan follows. For instance, disobedience is a pattern. I hope you know that. It leads to a very predictable outcome. You find that in Deuteronomy chapter 28 from verse 13 down, that if you decide to follow that pattern of disobedience, there are certain things that will happen to you. So for instance, Apostle, I know that longevity, the ability to live and fulfill your days, is a manifestation of God's degree. But everybody is dying in my family. What could be the reason? I can tell you, nobody has gotten up to find a pattern that leads to longevity. And because of the bankruptcy in knowledge, Satan comes. If you don't plant something in your farm, something will still grow. What do we call it? There is no farm that will be without something. Because you are a farmer. But according to scripture, the enemy is also a farmer. That when men plant wheat, he comes to plant tears also. Is someone learning? So for instance, Apostle, what are the patterns that lead to longevity? The first biblical pattern that leads to longevity, just as an example, is to receive the spirit of life first. You cannot dwell in death and darkness and expect longevity. You see that now? And then the Bible says, I set before you blessing and cursing. I set before you life and death. He said, choose life. How do you choose life? Number one, by verbalizing it, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Number two, by walking in keeping with the principles that are pro-life. Drink and you get drunk, and the God carries you. You walk in a pattern that leads to death. Are we together now? Another pattern. Honor your father and your mother in the Lord, that your days may be long, and it shall be well with you. What is another pattern? I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That means if you are not living to declare the works of the Lord, there is no basis for your. Is someone learning now? This is important. Apostle, everybody is rejecting me. It looks like people don't want to place value on me. It's not true. There is a pattern of God. When you want the attention of people, there is a pattern. That pattern is found in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. When the glory of the Lord will be risen, is there. It says, arise, shine, for your light is come. Everybody say light. The emphasis in that scripture is not the individual, but the light. Your light is come. It says, and the glory of the Lord. Relationship between glory and light. Glory and light. Glory and darkness cannot cohabit. Arise and shine. I will always like to quote this scripture from Amplified. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration that circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new light. It says, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Verse 2 says, for darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But upon you the glory of God shall arise. I like verse 3. Here's what verse 3 says. Gentiles shall come to who? It never said they will come to you. So when you say people are not coming to me, there is no scripture for that there. They come to your light. So every time you want to attract the attention of people, you must allow your light to shine. Nobody will come to you for nothing. Are we together now? Yes. Did the Bible not say where the carcasses are? It says there the eagles will gather. A hospital never calls patients to come. You just build a hospital and keep qualified doctors there. Patients will leave everywhere to come there because there is light there. Light talks of solutions. Are we together now? Light does not just talk of revelation alone. It talks of solutions. That means when you are a bearer of good things, when your life is a compendium of various kinds of solutions, it becomes impossible to be ignored, regardless gender sentiments, regardless territorial sentiments. People will throw away all of those things and come to you. What happens? We're discussing the glory of God. As a man of God, I don't know why people are not coming to my church. I'm a sincere person. I love God. Must I go and collect faith power for them to come? No. Leave all those flimsy excuses. There is a pattern that controls increase of all kinds. What is the pattern? Number one, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men. When the attention shifts from you to Jesus, you can now draw the people who are coming to meet you. For as long as the attention is on you and your church and your ego, God is not going to send people to come and waste their time. Number two, God will not send people to come when you have not built capacity to provide the solutions. Are we together now? Yes. No intelligent person will come and sit down indefinitely with his family, carrying his wife and children, and sit down under any kind of spiritual leader. There is bankruptcy of revelation and knowledge. There is no performance of the hand of God upon your life. People love you, but they love themselves too. They love their destinies too. There is no safe person I know. Are we together? There is a lot of disorganization in my company. The problem is a leadership problem. The Bible says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Every time the sheep is scattering, leave them. It's not the problem of the sheep. There is an orientation the shepherd does not know. That is why there is disorganization. Look, when you understand what I'm showing you, all of a sudden a veil will be taken away from your eyes and you will see the predictability of life. That when it looks like the glory of God is not manifested in people, it's not, for instance, most of us here, I know, we are trusting God for greater levels of increase financially. If that is you, say amen. Yeah. So you see that I'm not lying. You shout an amen. If I call three or four people now, and I say in the name of Jesus and in the name of honesty, tell me to know that brings financial prosperity. Someone is going to say, I've been asking God to help me and tell him, I have asked God, I have begged God, I've told him, I don't know why he's asking, he's not looking at me. And then those who don't even need it, he now keeps giving them. Hallelujah. Another person say, well, they said start a business. I started a business, so nobody's even coming. So you can't say I'm lazy. I started a business. Ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you, a conference like this is supposed to be responsible believers. Your life will never change until the day you take responsibility and say, Lord, I take responsibility. There is something I have not seen. There is something I do not know. Apostle, I know that restoration is possible in God. But why is it that many things have left my life, but I have never received restoration? I hear people saying they receive restoration, but not me. There is a pattern you have not followed. Go and read the Bible. Every manifestation of restoration is tied to the ministry of the prophetic. So if you have ignored the ministry of the prophetic, there is no restoration for you. You will only quote it, but you will never see it. Every time people lost things in the Bible, it was not brain that brought it back. Whether time or things, restoration resides within the office of the prophetic. Alas, master, for it was gone. And they went to the prophet and said, worry, where fell it? And he threw a stick and the carpet floated. Samaria was in famine, they were in pain and lacking. And the prophet comes and says, by this time, tomorrow. The woman in Zarephath, remember? Depletion had, you know, her life had been so depleted, she had just a morsel of bread and water to take, and the prophet said, not when I'm here. No, there is a pattern. How about the Shunammite woman? A great woman in Shunem. And Elisha would always pass, and the Bible sign that this man was a holy man of God. And she said, Lord, honor this grace. There is a pattern that every time you honor a grace that you have not taken, it becomes scripturally incorrect for you to not be blessed from that grace. So they prepared a place for the man. And one day he said, no, I cannot be a prophet of God and you are showing me this kindness. I must do something for you, because that is the pattern. That every time you communicate honor, something must lead the anointed to your life. And woman, you have not been in. Let me ask you, what should I do for you? Should I speak to the king for you? She said, no, I live among my people. And then the servant said, I noted two man has no child. And the prophet laughed. Said, finally, I found something that the anointed can do. That woman would have died barren, and you would have said it's the will of God. Yet there is a possibility in the dealings of God for her to have a child. Are we together? And the prophet, according to the time of life. And that was the end of the discussion. My question now is, what dimension of glory has failed to be revealed in your life, principally through ignorance? Do you know, there are some of you, respectfully speaking, you have wandered around in confusion and in pain, whereas one general prophetic declaration is what would have saved you from these 10 years of calamity and captivity. Do you believe what I've taught you so far?
Yes. Yes.
Apostle, I read that in my name they shall lay hands on the sick. I went somewhere and I laid hands on the sick. They almost tore me out of that place because nobody was healed. It's not what it is. You can say they shall lay hands on the sick and go and talk somebody and they will almost arrest you because nothing happens there. God is not a herbalist. It is written here, but there is a pattern. Every time you are in need of oil, the Bible says, go to them that sell and buy. There are always them that sell. You don't buy with money. You buy with humility. You buy with meekness. You buy with hunger. You buy with honor. So if your lamp does not have oil, don't blame God. You have ignored them that sell. There are always them that sell. Apostle, where is the grace for wisdom? There are them that sell. Apostle, where is the grace for favor? There are them that sell. Apostle, where is the grace for speed? There are them that sell. He told the fine virgins, they were all virgins. So it's not the issue of sin or unrighteousness or righteousness. It was wisdom and foolishness. The foolishness was that the other fine did not place value on them that sell. There are them that sell. One grace you can encounter in the name of Jesus may favor rest with you. And it will look like you are holding a charm. Everywhere you go, like Esther, someone will say, I don't know what is your name? Come and see me tomorrow. Is it only you? It's not your fault. You have sought them yourself. You have followed in keeping with the path. Even Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, your Jesus walked under a closed heaven for 30 years. Jesus. His own heaven were closed for 30 years. Until John the Baptist himself caused that heaven to be open. Jesus walked under a closed heaven himself as the Word of God. And he went and met John. He would have said, "You are talking nonsense. I am the Word incarnate." But he said, "So far into his soul." That means there is a pattern. If I ignore your ministry, my own ministry will not rise. Even though I am Jesus, it is a pattern. The lesser is less of the greater. The lesser there does not mean the weak one. John was sent to forerun Jesus. He came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And in Jesus, he put him. There were three prophets that played a role in the life of Jesus for his destiny to open up. Number one, Simeon the prophet. Number two, Anna the prophetess. Number three, John the prophet. You call him the Baptist. God was watching Jesus for 30 years and he never made one statement. But when he submitted to the ministry of John, the Bible says when he came out of the water, your Bible says, and the heavens. Why would the Bible record that? The heavens opened over who? And the Holy Ghost ended upon him. If Jesus did not John the Baptist, he would have failed in his assignment. Believe me when I tell you. Many of you who are seated here, your destiny is God is crying and saying, "Listen, you are behind schedule based on the prophetic blueprint. By now you would have been a man of God walking in signs and wonders. There, by now, the people are located for your grace to heal them. But pride and arrogance and ignorance has trapped you down. In your mind, every man of God is your calling. In your mind, what is there? I have access to God directly. It's the foolishness that has destroyed a lot of people. God to them that fail." Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear me. Do you know, every time the glory of God is not revealed in your life, destiny is like a relay. That means this lady's manifestation affects this gentleman's manifestation. So if God has called this lady to be a prophet, and it is through her prophetic ministry that his ministry will find expression, if she does not manifest, she has trapped this guy's destiny too. This is some of us who are looking at me right now. There are many people by now, through your grace, your family, for instance, God ordained you. Since 2019, the liberty for your family should have come. But because you were the one ordained by God to rise through knowledge and break those chains of witchcraft, the bankruptcy of understanding the patterns of God has stopped you from manifesting His glory. Listen. Hallelujah. So when you talk about manifesting the glory of God, like you have a conference, it's not just about coming to shout amen alone. You see that? It's not just coming to say, "I wow, a nice conference." If that is what happens to you, truly you wasted your time. The goal is to get you angry. So this is it. So this is my destiny. So I am not a weak person seated here. Everybody told me I was not good in school. Also, that statement is a lie. So this is who I am. I've been struggling to belong. I've been whereas there is destiny upon me. I wonder how many prophets are seated here without manifesting. I wonder how many mighty vessels are seated here. I wonder how many kingdom financiers are seated here. I wonder how many destiny changers. This is not some motivational talk. I wonder how many people the mantle for delivering your family has been upon you since you were a teenager. Now, respectfully speaking, you are 40, 50, and you are wondering, why is it that every time they are in trouble, they talk to you? It's because their spirits can discern that you are the one who should be the savior. You think they are just disturbing you because you are the one who got the job. No! No! This is more than just having money. Why do you think that every time they complain to you about their problems, you are the one who feels the pain most? Because that pain is reacting to a mantle of your life. Moses was a deliverer, and because that mantle was on him, when he saw them oppressing an Egyptian, something moved him and he killed the man. It's not that he wanted to be a murderer. He did not even know what was controlling his passion. It was when he went to the wilderness, God now fired that passion and said, that anger you are having is your destiny crying out. Are you here? There are some of you here. You are destinies like Esther. You are supposed to marry Ahasuerus, and your real destiny stands in your marriage. But you have refused to behave well. The devil knows that your destiny is there, and so he has made you to not behave well, so that Ahasuerus now rejects you and find out that you are moving around. Every time they talk about purpose, all you are thinking about is marriage. And you are wondering, is it that I love marriage that much? It's not about loving marriage. It's that your destiny is connected to that event. Because if you are married, there is a prophet that must come out of your womb. There is Jesus that must come. Do you know that Mary's assignment was to give birth to Jesus? That's it. So her keeping herself was her sacrifice to make sure if she was not a virgin for it, she would not be used for various things. I came to challenge someone this morning. It's time for you to truly arise. It's time for you to say, oh, this is it. I desire the glory of God to be revealed in my life. Watch this. We're seated and looking at this wonderful building. Once upon a time, this place was just an empty ground. Now, when you look at this, you look at the creativity. You look at everything here. You say, wow, these architects are wonderful. They have displayed from an architectural standpoint. Do you know that what we're sitting on, it was once on paper? And it came from someone's mind. Confessing it is not the way it happens alone. Confession has its place, but you must understand the patterns. And I believe that all through this conference, among the many things you will be learning, when you listen, don't just listen to be entertained. Be like a spiritual archaeologist. You know the area where you are not seeing the glory of God manifest in your life. Start searching for the patterns. Apostle, this finance thing, I almost compromised because of this finance thing. So find the pattern and settle it once and for all. Don't sit there and say it doesn't matter and then you keep suffering as a result of it. What is the pattern? I have told you. Go to them that sell and buy. I've had my life, I'm jumping from pillar to post, always comfortable. I love the Lord, but I find myself dabbling into things I should not dabble into. There are men that God has exalted and granted grace. Their life is an expression of genuine holiness and righteousness. There is an understanding they have, and there is a grace they have. Follow them, go through faith and patience. Have obtained. Let me say one more thing and then we'll wrap up. Can I use my three people again? Please come and stand here, gentlemen. Just stand here. Watch this and we're talking. Just try to face the congregation. Now look at this. When you read your Bible, do you notice that names are very important in the Bible? Please listen, don't miss what I'm about to say. Is that true? From Genesis, you find out that when God deals with men, many times he leaves their names. Do you know why? It's not just because he wants you to remember the people. Let me tell you how God works with men. Please, you have to get this as we wrap up. So when God starts working with this gentleman, leads this gentleman through a pathway. Are we together? The dealings of God with him could be through many years. By the time God works with this gentleman, at the end of it, if he submits to the ministry of the Word and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, there is a kind of believer that's going to become. Are we together now? Yes. I don't know about the technical part of your services, but I know that you do a lot of trainings. Am I right there? And some of you are seniors in this. Do you know you can see someone who just got a job, this job the first time, and literally you can see the things he does not know or she does not know. You submit the person through trainings. Am I right on that? And then there's what they call promotion exams. Am I right on that? Now, when you see someone with a particular rank, that rank is a testament that he has followed in keeping with certain things. Am I right on that? You name give me two of your offices names, any positions here. Controller? No, just give me two. DCG. What does that mean? Okay, Deputy Controller General and Assistant Controller General. Thank you. Now let me just use these two. When you see an Assistant Controller General, right, or a Deputy Controller General, those names are not just the names of individuals. Those names are testaments of a particular kind of training. The individual will go, but the name will remain. Is that true? Listen carefully. That name is a pathway. So that if you want to become an Assistant Controller General, there was an individual who once occupied that office. Am I right on that? Is to tell you that that office is vacant. There will be someone there, but the person will not be there forever. And that you can write from a new person who just got a job, you can aspire for that position sincerely, and you can start that pathway. Now, wishing it will not give you. Am I right on? Now, every time you see the Bible call men Peter, Mary, Martha, Abraham, number one, they were names of individuals, but not that names of them. They were descriptions of various spiritual pathways that produce certain kinds of believers. When you say Abraham, Abraham is not just the name of a man, Abraham. Abraham is a kind of spiritual pathway that when you follow, you must become the father of nations. Are you getting the point now? So when God says, I want you to become the father of nations, you will find your training becoming similar to that of Abraham. So the Bible is a compendium of many pathways that are hidden in names and priests. Your assignment is to find which one reflects your destiny. For someone, when you are studying, you will see Esther. That Esther is not just the name of a woman. It's the spiritual pathway as to how God leads men from their lowly estate until he brings them to the palace. So if you are destined for the palace, you don't study Esther as a woman, you study Esther as a spiritual pathway. You understand that? So when you begin to walk with God, among the many things that happen to you is that you must start looking like someone in scripture. If you cannot find anybody in scripture whose life you are becoming, is the devil who's training you. Listen carefully, look up, please. Look up. If it is the God of the Bible, same spirit who is training people. How many of you know that if I go to my degree, in fact, if I go outside of this nation to any of our embassies, if I see someone from the NIS, I expect similarity of results. Am I right on that? Because it was a common training. Their names may be different, but a one of the, a senior officer in Abuja, a senior officer in Maiduguri, a senior officer in, say, America or Libya, if I bring them together, you should see similarity of racial. So if you claim you are in the Nigerian Immigration Services and you are not becoming like anybody that they know, you are not metamorphosing into any office, most likely somebody is some fraudulent in somewhere. You get what I'm saying? So we carry the Bible and we claim the Spirit of God that trained all the people is training you. Yet, eventually your life does not reflect anyone there, not even Jesus. Something is wrong with that training. If you are Mary, let us see your life becoming like Mary in the Bible. If you are Elijah, let us see your life becoming like Elijah, because it is a particular kind of training that Elijah must go through to be Elijah. Right on that. So when God is calling you to carry that mantle and you're studying Elijah, there are consecrations and sacrifices that you have to go through in order to emerge. Now, we claim many names and we claim many promises in the Bible, but it will not follow the pathway that leads to those people. That's the reason why we keep jumping and saying, oh, in the name of Jesus, I will be wealthy like Solomon. Amen. And that is wonderful. But do you know what Solomon did to come that way? Solomon is not just a man. He's also a pathway. He offered burnt offerings, a thousand burnt offerings, and when God came and asked him, what should I give you? He did not ask for the life of his enemies. He said, give me an understanding heart. In other words, selflessness. I want to see you revealed in me. And God said, this is what you are telling me. I will give you wealth like no other. And with it, I will give you riches, wealth, and honor like no king has had. So when you say, I want to be like Solomon, follow that pathway. I want to be a great prophet like Elijah. Elijah was a man of prayer. Let me look at your life. Let me scan through your prayer life to see if you are following that pattern. If you are not following that pattern, you will not become that person. It's all about learning now. Thank you, gentlemen. This Bible is not just a compendium of verses we're wrapping up. This Bible is a mirror. Eventually, as you walk with God, you should start looking like someone who walked with God. You should start looking like someone who walked with God. Ultimately, like Jesus. But within the context of your assignment and your divine destiny, you should start looking like someone. You may not know. I don't know what God has called me to do. You just keep walking with the Holy Ghost. You will find out that there is a metamorphosis that is happening to you. All of a sudden, you will find out that there is a similarity in my training. What is it about Paul? And there is a similarity. I was once an unbeliever. I once persecuted the church. Now I'm finding myself walking in the things of God. And there are all kinds of dealings God is subjecting me to. Have you found your place? Is it not in your Bible that Jesus came in Luke chapter 4 and they brought the scroll of Isaiah and he found where it was written concerning him? There is something written concerning you. Have you found it? A day will come, you will read a verse and it will not be a verse. It will be a key. This is my destiny. I have found it. Tomorrow will take some time and I'll be showing you the dynamics that evolves you to become a carrier of glory. My assignment for today was to open you up to the basics and elementary understanding about the glory of God. Let me recap on all that I've said and then we pray. Number one, I started by telling you that it is in every believer's prophetic destiny. You remember that? That it is in every believer's prophetic destiny to be a manifestation of the glory of God. That no believer has been alienated from that privilege. The Bible says we've been ordained unto glory. Number two, that God is a God of patterns. and that knowing that the glory of God should be revealed in your life alone will not bring you to that glory. And then I define glory, that glory is a composite, a summation, right, of all the attributes that attempt to make a thing worthy of your worship, worthy of your praise. Are we together now? So when you talk about glory of a thing, it is an explanation of all the attributes, the qualities in that person or that thing that makes it admirable, that makes it desirable. Now we wrapped up by teaching on patterns according to Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6, that there is always a pattern to follow, and the end of that pattern is a revelation of a dimension of God's glory. Knowing then that the glory of God is not just smoke, the glory of God is not just light, it's a composite of all the attributes that God, His goodness, His power, His grace, all of the attributes, you find them scattered through scripture. So if your life is to be a manifestation of the glory of God, it must reveal everything. And classically speaking, there are several dimensions of this glory as captured revealed in Revelation that we are worthy to receive for us, and it begins to list them: wisdom, riches, power, and all of that. We'll discuss that tomorrow. It is my prayer that every life here that has been bankrupt of the revelation of the glory of God, or you may have sustained an orientation that when it has to do with the manifestation of the glory of God, it is an exclusive reserve that is left for preachers, or left for maybe some apostles or prophets. No, God never designed believers to be like, for want of word, weak people, and they are helplessly dependent on some celebrity apostle or some celebrity man of God. Also, no, that is not God's idea. God's idea is that all of us together will come into the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. That's what the Bible says. The privilege that He grants us to teach God's people is simply to be able to educate, to mentor, to guide, and to impart upon God's people. But that ultimately our destiny in Christ is that all of us together will become an effulgence of His glory. So that you see the glory of God living and working and manifesting through men in business, in career, in ministry, that you become a manifestation of the glory of God. Is this a good place to pray? Let's rise up on our feet. There are three prayer points we are going to pray very quickly, and then my session is done for this morning. By the way, let me encourage you, please do invite everybody you can find, and all through the conference, not just my sessions, ensure that God's people are here to listen and to learn. This may be someone's opportunity to have and learn and receive something and be delivered. For some of you, what you have heard now, you go and listen to it again, and that becomes the key. Hallelujah. Remember Jesus said that the kingdom of God operates in this manner, that is like a house that someone lost a coin. Is that true? The first thing the person did to recover the coin was to light a candle. The second thing was to get a broom. And he began to sweep through the house, and eventually he found what was missing. There are three prayer points for you to pray. Prayer point number one is a cry from your spirit, that Lord, I haven't understood what your glory is. I desire that my life becomes a perpetual revelation of your glory to my world. Go ahead and pray. Let my life be a revelation of your goodness, your power, your favor, your wealth, your holiness, your grace. Go ahead and pray. Let my life be a revelation. My life be a revelation of your power, your grace, everything that is in you that is available and that you have given me freely in Christ. I want my life to be that manifestation. Go ahead and pray. Let your power to heal be revealed through my life. Let your power to save be revealed through my life. Let your wisdom, understanding be revealed through my life. Let the reality of dominion be revealed through my life. Let your favor be revealed through my life. Let speed be revealed through my life. Let your ability to restore be revealed through my life. Oh, hallelujah. Let longevity be revealed through my life. Let influence be revealed through my life. Capacity to comprehend spiritual things revealed through my life. Someone is praying that your life becomes a vessel of honor. Even here within the Nigerian Migration Services, Lord, let my life be so exceptional. Let it be a revelation of the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Prayer point number two, very quickly. We are going to pray. Father, you cry out to God from the depth of your heart. Please look at me. And you are going to ask God, Father, reveal to me the pattern that is connected to the dimension of glory I need to see in my life. Open my eyes. The spiritual pattern allocated, whether it's for prosperity, whether it's for favor, in the course of this conference, open my eyes. Someone pray. Go ahead. Blind Bartimaeus cried, he said, that I may see, that I may receive my sight. That means his sight was taken away from him, and I may receive my sight. Sight can be received. Go ahead and pray. Oh, I receive sight in the name of Jesus. That I may receive my sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, someone is praying. Father, open my eyes. The missing area. I'm tired of this financial shame, tired of sickness and diseases, tired of being a victim of curses and all kinds of years of ancestry, tying my life down. I'm tired of rising and falling. I'm tired of seeing good things but never possessing them. Show me the pattern, so God, open my eyes, connect the dots, lead me to the place of power, lead me to the place of wisdom, lead me to the place of strength, lead me to the place of influence, lead me to the place of health and vitality. Pray. Pray. Let it be from the depth of your heart. For everyone that asks and receives it, I assure you that as you pray, someone's life is changing already. In truth, you will never be the same. Take a minute to invest in your destiny. I must be a manifestation of the glory of God. Show me, reveal to me, say, Father, and I will answer you. I will show you big and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Final prayer point. Father, every grace, every anointing that you have sent to open me up to these spiritual possibilities, I open up my heart to receive. Meetings like this are not only moments where the word is taught. They are not only moments where the truth is revealed. In fact, they are not only moments. You see, the Bible says that when the word manifested, it was full of grace and truth. You have had truth, but there is a grace component to every truth. If the only thing you have is truth, truth in itself is only empowered by grace to work. It says, now that you know these things, happy are you if you do them. They heard the word just like you did, but the word did not profit them. It is possible that the word you have is genuine, but because it is not backed up, it is always grace and truth. So when you find the truth for prosperity, the grace for prosperity must come upon it. When you find the truth for healing, the grace for healing must come upon it. Now you have heard the truth. I'd like you to pray and say the grace component for every truth you have heard. The grace component, let it rest upon you. Lift your voice and pray. Final prayer for this service. Full of grace and truth. Grace and truth.
Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Put your hands to Jesus and give him praise.